The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house, I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, "Surely it is not I, Lord." He said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." He answered, "You have said so." The Gospel of the Lord. At the Last Supper with his apostles, Jesus says, "Amen, amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Now, one of the interesting things about the spiritual life is that the closer you get to God, the more likely you are to acknowledge your own faults. You can think of it, say, like a room that's badly in need of dusting. As long as you keep all the blinds closed and you keep the lights turned down, it doesn't look so bad, does it? Right? But when the light comes in, you begin to see every fault. That's why you never want to trust anybody who's a self-proclaimed great friend of God. You're never going to hear the saints talk that way. They all call themselves the greatest sinners. And they're not being coy. They're being truthful. And so the apostles today, they show some real spiritual progress. Because Jesus says, "One of you will betray me." And notice what they don't say. They don't point the finger at somebody else and say, "Well, I bet you it's him." No, no. 11 out of 12 apostles, they all say the same thing. They say, "I hope it's not me." 11 out of 12 apostles say, "Surely it is not I, Lord." Only Judas Iscariot, in a voice dripping with hypocrisy, knowing exactly what he's about to do, refuses to call Jesus Lord. Instead, he just calls him Rabbi. Lord was a title of great reverence and great love, but to call somebody Rabbi, that's like calling somebody Sir, right? Dime a dozen. And so Judas betrays Jesus to the authorities and sets in motion the sequence of events that leads to Jesus' crucifixion. Okay, but here's a little thought for the day. Be careful you don't point the finger at Judas and say that the whole thing is all his fault. The crucifixion did not happen without a betrayal at many levels. And if we're honest, we'll see ourselves betraying the Lord at all of those levels. Consider, for example, the betrayal of the religious authorities. The chief priests, the scribes, the elders of the people, they were afraid of what would happen if Jesus became too popular, that the Romans would come in and overrun the city of Jerusalem. And it was Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, who said, "You fools, do you not understand that it is more expedient for one man to die than for all the nation?" See, there's the betrayal of the religious authorities. They choose the path of least resistance. Abraham Lincoln once said that a river chooses the path of least resistance. That's why it's crooked. What you and I have to ask ourselves is, have we ever chosen the path of least resistance? Yes or yes? Yes. Have we ever done what's expedient instead of doing what is right? And that's why we stand side by side with the religious authorities in their betrayal of Jesus. Consider, for example, the betrayal of Pontius Pilate, who, when Jesus was on trial before him, symbolically washed his hands of the whole affair, and he says, "I am innocent of this man's death." His job was to administer justice, not to absolve himself from it. And if you've ever felt the burden of your responsibilities and wanted to run in the opposite direction, well, then we've shared in the betrayal of Pontius Pilate as well. And lastly, consider the betrayal of 11 out of those 12 apostles who all ran away from Jesus at his hour of greatest need. And we always look to St. John, who alone among the apostles climbed the hill of Calvary to be with Jesus as he was being crucified. But where was John when Jesus was on trial? And his testimony might have saved his life. 11 out of 12 apostles are guilty of what we call a sin of omission. It's why we begin every Mass asking God's mercy for what I've done and for what I've failed to do. If we've ever been guilty of a sin of omission, failing to do what before God we should do, we share in their betrayal as well. Now, thanks be to God that through all of this, Jesus is in complete control. Like he says to his apostles at the Last Supper, "The appointed time draws near." It's interesting that the Hebrew word for time is moed. And it has with it a dimension of a divine appointment, the idea that nothing happens by chance. And that God is going to use all of this to bring about our redemption. Thanks be to God for his mercy. It's one last little thought for you now for the season of Lent, before we enter into the sacred Triduum, which begins tomorrow. At the hour of death, none of us can claim innocence before God. None of us. And that's actually okay. Jesus said, "I didn't come for the self-righteous. I came for sinners." I love the story of St. Therese, the little flower, who died of tuberculosis at the age of 24, and in her last hours showed a moment of willed impatience and anger towards one of her religious sisters who was trying to help her as she was lying there dying on her deathbed, a moment of willed impatience, and almost immediately she gave thanks to God for her weakness, because she said, "Now I have even one more claim on God's mercy." Thanks be to God that Jesus shows us mercy, especially when we do not deserve it. His blood is our ransom. And that is why we say, "We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world." Amen.